sovereign, eternal, changeable love. And then when grace hears with their temples adorned, like lambs will sit still in my bosom be born. Well, good morning, church. This is the day after All Saints Day. That was yesterday, and we're going to be observing that as a focus this morning. So when we come to the sermon hymn, we had a little bit of a difficulty because our organist is not well this morning, so we're doing it electronically. And it says verses 1 to 5, but in your hymnal, when we get to the sermon hymn, we're going to all rise in observance of All Saints Day, and then we'll just sing on the left page in your hymnal. That's 1, 2, 3, 7, and 8. But just ignore that. We'll just sing the left verses on the left side of the page. Anything else anybody needs to say before we go ahead? It's good to have everybody here. We gather as a communion of saints, just to remind everybody, those who have all gone before us, we're one with them. We don't talk with them. We won't see them again until we either go there or we all get together. But there is one communion of saints. So in the shadow of that, we make our beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. You forgave the iniquity of my sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. And who orders his ways rightly, I will show the salvation of God. The mighty one, the Lord God, speaks and summons the earth. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and call upon me in the day of trouble.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. The one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God.
On earth peace
The Lord be with you. And with thy spirit. Thank you. Let's pray. O Lord, stir up the hearts of your faithful people to welcome and joyfully receive your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he may find in us a fit dwelling place, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the readings of the day. The Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who's required you to this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates. You've become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Now he's been saying this because they were doing all the things he had told them to do, but it wasn't with a good heart. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they should become like wool. This is the word of the Lord. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. In the epistle lesson from 2 Thessalonians, just as a side reference, in 1 Thessalonians, every chapter ends with a reference to the Lord's return. That's interesting. I didn't know that, didn't realize that until yesterday. And so Paul says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church in Thessalonians, in God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in all the afflictions that you are enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They'll suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shall we? The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they grumbled, he's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone anything, I refund it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let me repeat that. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And let me say it again. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
And we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's remain standing for our sermon hymn. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning again, church. I have a favorite story of All Saints Day, favorite to me. I've told it sometime in the past here, but I want to tell it again. Some years ago, I would work out at a place called 24 Hour Fitness. And I would try to go the same day, same time every day. I could keep it on my schedule that way. And I met a guy there. He would always come, and he'd go swimming, and I'd go upstairs and work out, and we'd talk. And German guy, grew up in Germany, and had been a Lutheran in his childhood, but as a result of the war the way his family was configured, he had become an agnostic. He just wasn't sure about God at all. And then one day he found out that I was a pastor, and then the fight was on. And so I threatened to have a big glass of tea and have it out with him someday. But we would back and forth, back and forth. I had a chance to meet his daughter one day at a, I went super solid, and she was there with the kids, and he was there with her, and got her phone number. I don't remember why, but anyway, one day he wasn't there, and I thought, well, strange. I thought maybe he just wasn't working out, and then the next week he wasn't there either, and so I called her. Well, he was at the hospital. He had fallen to the floor and was able to get to a phone and call for help, and had him in the hospital, and he had a tumor, they said, the size of an orange at his brain stem. Not a good thing. So he was in a hospital. They weren't sure that it appeared it was not malignant, but they had to remove it. They weren't sure that he would survive, or that if he did, he'd be able to talk or anything like that, you know. And so the night before his surgery, I was there visiting him, and his son, who was fairly alienated with his dad because of who his dad had been, was there in the hospital with him. And Kurt asked his son to forgive him and asked Jesus to forgive him. Next day he had the surgery. He came through the surgery and he could talk and he was wheelchair bound for a while. But he was gaining mobility and there was healing for him and for the family. So he was getting better and they got one of the families had a handicapped van, would get him and bring him to church in his wheelchair. And his goal was, at some point, to walk down the aisle and thank the church for what God had done. One day, Liz and the boys were gone, and I just thought, 100 days. I thought, weird. Anyway, I just kind of, you know, put it up. Came back, just kind of persisted. And I looked at it, and it was November 1st. I talked to Liz, and she said, well, maybe it's about elections. I said, no, it's November 1st. It's not. That'd be November 6th or whatever it was that year. Anyway, so I started a devotional, 100 days, 99, 98. And I asked people if anybody had a sense of what that was. Nobody did. Anyway, it goes on, and so that's countdown. And about during that month then, it became apparent that Kurt's tumor had regrown, and this time there's no surgery. When I got the phone call that he had passed away on All Saints Day, it just washed over me because that was day one, 99, 98, day one, All Saints Day. God knew, and God knows our days. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to take a day out of the year and celebrate all those who have known the Lord and have gone ahead. How many of you have people who knew the Lord are now with Jesus? How many of you? Yeah, I suspect most all of us do. I had a thought this last week about how did they come to know? The people that you know knew the Lord are now with him. How did they come to know the Lord? Anybody have a quick testimony? For many of us Lutherans, it's just been part of the stream. You were born into it, and then you were baptized into it. You weren't just born. We're born sinful. But when we're baptized, we became part of the family of God, and we've grown up that. You know, some of the other denominations, they have more of an awareness of an adult awareness of coming to know and accept, and that's the intent of confirmation among Lutherans. You know, you really have a time when you're about that age that you can begin to catch on to it, but that doesn't always take for everybody. I'm sorry, but it just doesn't. You can't program that into a person's life. Well-intended as it may be, some people that go through confirmation the last time you see them, I mean, that's the bane of a lot of Lutheran families. They regret that the children get confirmed and they go through high school and college and then they're just, you know, you don't see them, whatever else. Let me ask you another question. You don't have to hold your hands up for this one. How many of you have had a family that are in heaven now and don't hold your hands up, that knew the Lord but wandered off, strayed, got off in a ditch. Yeah. Many of us have. And then the next question was, what brought them back? What happened that they were wandering off? And when you wander off, you get to a place where you're just not as close to the shepherd. You're not hearing his voice as well. And so your behavior reflects it sometimes. You're not hearing the shepherd. You're not hearing Jesus. And you're not walking with Jesus. And so it shows. And sometimes, praise God, when somebody wanders off, somebody intercepts them. Somebody goes after them. Somebody begins to pray for them. Somebody begins to witness to them. Somebody, you know, talks to them, loves them, hopefully. Hopefully not scold them. By the way, nobody's going to be in heaven because they got scolded. Nobody's going to be in heaven because they lost an argument. We need to win them back with love. We're going to talk about that in a bit. But I thought about that. By the way, Luke was a pagan. I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but a pagan was what they called somebody who was outside of Israel, who worshipped a lot of other gods, not the God of Israel. That was a pagan. So Luke was a pagan. The writer of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, was a pagan. But he's a believer now. He's the only one who records the story of Zacchaeus. I thought that's just so neat. Here's a pagan who includes somebody else who was a sinner. But this is a sinner that is restored. And I thought about that again. So Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house and people are saying, what's he doing, Jesus? Going, spending time with a sinner. Let's see. That was me, right? I was born that. The Bible says I was born blind, dead, and an enemy of God. So if Jesus loved me, these people didn't get the fact that God loved them from sin, from death to life. They didn't get it. And so he's spending time with somebody who's dead and needs to come alive, and they're grumbling about it because he's spending time with sinners rather than with them. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this house today because this man is now a son of Abraham, meaning a son of Abraham by faith. Luke and Zacchaeus both. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And this last several months I have been in Matthew 18, and for those of you who don't know it, I've mentioned here before, but Matthew 18, especially among pastors, is kind of that verse where you confront somebody for their sin. Have you done Matthew 18? In other words, if you see your brother sinning, have you confronted him? Have you brought correction? Have you talked to him about how he's erring? And I've been reading this, and Matthew 18 has taken on an entirely different flavor for me. And I'd like to share with you what I'm saying, because in the very beginning, Jesus starts in the beginning of Matthew with answering this question. Who's greatest in the kingdom? Oh, by the way, that's page 823. If you want to follow along in your Bibles in the pew, 823. I'll give you just a second to get there. Sometimes it's good not just to hear it, but to see it in print also. So Matthew 18, page 823 in your pew Bibles. Disciples come to Jesus and they say to him, who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, that was one of those discussions they had about who was greatest among the disciples. So we shouldn't be too surprised if, you know, we kind of measure ourselves to other people because the disciples did that. And so it says Jesus called a little child and had a little child stand right in the middle of them. And then he says, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you won't be saved, but it does mean you will not experience the kingdom rule of God. And that's a good thing to experience and not a good thing not to experience. And so He says, so unless you become like this child, whoever becomes like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on, he says, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. And then he says, there's such a thing as causing someone who's little or young in the faith to stumble, causing them offense. He says, if anyone does that, it'd be better for him. And why he says a huge millstone, I don't know. Any stone around your neck is going to make you drown. And why he says in the depths of sea, I don't know. You can drown in a foot of water. But he says it'd be better for him to have the town millstone, or that's the word for here, around his neck and thrown in the deepest part of the ocean than to offend. He said, you know, these offenses are going to come. He says, but woe to the man through whom they come. And then he says, it'd be better for you, he says, if your hand or your foot causes you to offense or stumble, he said, it'd be better to cut it off than to enter life with two hands and two feet. It'd be better to enter life maimed and crippled, no, one hand, one foot gone, than to have two hands and two feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. Or if your eye caused you to stumble, be better to gouge it out and enter and have one eye rather than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. That's pretty strong language. And then he says, see to it. He's not making a transition here. He's saying the same. He's talking about the same thing, about causing offense and drawing somebody back. He says, you see to it that you don't look down on one of these little ones. He says, because their angels are always beholding the face of my Father. God has assigned angels to people. And when you look down on somebody, he says, yeah, be careful about that. Their angels are always watching the Father, meaning taking moment by moment instructions from God about how to care for them. And then he says, think about it. If you had 100 sheep, one of them wanders off. Can you say wanders off? If you have 100 sheep, one of them wanders off, you leave the 99 and you go after the one. And he says, I tell you the truth, if he finds the one, he's going to rejoice more about that one than about the 99 that are safe on the hill. Let me say it again. He says, you go looking for the one that has wandered off. He's not hearing the shepherd's voice. He's not living for the shepherd. His behavior is also gone. You see his behavior, so you know something's happened here. And then is when he says in the next verse, if your brother sins. In other words, if your brother has wandered off, what do you do? Where do you go to him? How do you do that? Between you and him alone. You don't tell everybody around down the block. You go to him because your goal is to bring him back from wandering. He's wandered away from the shepherd. He's not hearing the shepherd's voice, and so he's not living well. And you go to him. If he doesn't listen to you, if he doesn't hear you, then you take somebody else with you so that you can establish every two or three, one or two with you. So three of you go, two or three of you go. So it becomes clear, you know, brother, you've wandered off. And if he doesn't hear you, then you bring it to the church. And he says, if he refuses, this is interesting. Listen carefully. If he refuses to listen to the church, then in Greek it says, let him be to you. It's not about how you treat him. It's who he is. Let him be to you a pagan and a tax gatherer. Meaning, wait a minute. This is not our sheep who's wandered off. This is somebody now who's been severed from the branch. He's lost. He's now lost. Consider him somebody who's outside of the kingdom. He's a pagan and a tax gatherer. He's a sinner. You thought he was a shepherd. You thought he was a sheep. He's a goat. He's got separated. Now what do you do? Look at these verses. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. He's talking about what you do when you realize somebody has been lost. They've gotten separated from the vine. They've gotten separated from the shepherd. They're not his sheep anymore. And so you are invited. You're invited to exercise your authority to bind and loose, to pray for him, and to appeal to God for his salvation. And then he says, again, I tell you that where two of you on earth agree about anything, it'll be done by my Father in heaven. Find somebody that loves this person like you do and pray for them. And it says, if you two or three agree on earth concerning a thing, it'll be done by my Father. God is in the business of restoring lost sheep. You have him on your side when you pray for somebody who's been severed from the body of Christ and severed from the kingdom and severed himself from the vine. And then he says, for where two or three come together in my name, there am I in the midst. Let me say it again. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the middle of it. God says, I'm right in the middle of things with you when you're interceding and praying for and talking to and counseling with somebody who has walked off from the kingdom of God and from Jesus. And it says in Galatians 6, verse 1, brothers, if someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spiritual gentleness, watching yourself, lest you be tempted. There's a temptation when you go after lost brothers. There's a temptation, just let them go. There's a temptation to look down on them. Man, I thought they, whatever our grumblings may, how they may be expressed. Watch yourself, lest you too be tempted. And then it says, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. That word for burden is the burden of Acts 15, where it says the Gentiles become had become believers in the Messiah. And some of the Jewish people said, well, they got to get the yarmulke and they got to be circumcised. And the leaders, the elders in Jerusalem said, no. No extra burdens. That's this one. That's what we're to carry. Things that are beyond what our relationship with Jesus would require of us. Things that are more than what I can carry by myself. Things that I don't need to carry. Carry one another's burdens. Help them get free from that kind of stuff. From all the religiosity that we sometimes add to this thing we call faith in Jesus. And it can accumulate without even seeing it. You got to do things a certain way, a certain time. Bow the knee, raise the hand, whatever else, whatever it is that your religion demands of you. It says, carry those things. And so fulfill the law of Christ. And then it says, if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. And then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else, for each one should carry his own burden, his own load. Now that's a different word for burden. That's the word where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened. That's the first word, burden. He says, take my yoke. By the way, a yoke, if you were with a rabbi, if you had a rabbi and you were a student, his list of all the things he expected of you was called his yoke. And you took his yoke upon you, and it was crushing. It was heavy. You need to do this. And Paul says, I was one of those guys. I did everything exactly right. He was Gamaliel's student. Gamaliel was a top rabbi. And so Paul says, I learned to carry that yoke of Gamaliel. I did it well. But it burdens you down. Jesus says, come to me, all your burden down. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's this word. You have to carry your own. Somebody can't be saved for you. You have to carry the burden of the yoke of Jesus, being made one with Him. That's yours to carry. But sometimes we need to carry for others the things that weigh them down. I have met so many people. In fact, Liz and I were in Rosenberg just yesterday doing some little antique shops on Main Street downtown, got in an antique store, and I just happened to strike up a conversation with a lady who had a booth there, and found out that she was she had retired to take care of her grandson, who's now five. Her grandson was her daughter is kind of holding her hand against religion, and she didn't want him to go to a Christian preschool, but she'd enrolled him in a preschool at a church, and she loves it. And so I started talking to the further with the lady, and she had been a person of a denomination. She had gotten, actually, by the time she was 18, she was involved in leadership in the church, and she ran into all the talk about, I got the money, so I get to make the decisions. All the attitudes that sometimes happen in churches, and it's never happened at St. Paul, right? We've never had any bad attitudes here. Liar, liar, pants on fire, yeah. And it offended her. And so she said, I just backed up from organized religion. I don't know how many times I've heard that. And usually when somebody talks about, quote, organized religion, it means that they've been offended by something in the church. And she just kind of backed up from it. And so I had a chance to continue to talk with her, and we talked about, you know, our faith is not about do, it's about done. It's not about what I do. It's about what's been done for me. All Saints Day. Nobody in heaven because of what they did. Nobody. Everybody that's in, with the Lord now, it's because of what Jesus did for them. And when we accept what Jesus did for us, His death and resurrection is a reality. And when we're baptized, we're joined with Him by faith into His death. We're joined with Him in His resurrection. And the power of sin to enslave us is broken. We're going to talk about that in Bible class. God is so good. Everything that I need, to remove anything that separates me from Him, He did in the cross. He finished my sin. But He didn't just finish paying for my sin. He was resurrected from the grave. And because He was, I'm not just joined with Him in His death to pay for my sins. I'm joined with Him in His resurrection to guarantee my own. And when He comes again, somebody asked me today, how you doing? I says, well, I woke up alive and I'm rather enjoying it. And I said, the first day I don't wake up alive will be the best day of my life. Everybody we meet either needs to know Jesus or know Him better. That's the church. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so, if Jesus says, there am I in the midst of them, where two or three are gathered in my name, praying for somebody, wrestling with somebody's soul salvation, if He says, I'm there in the midst of it, I want to encourage you to be where Jesus is. Just be where Jesus is. Because He's in the business of coming to seek and to save the lost. And if you have lost people in your family, if you have people that have either just wandered off and need to be brought back, they're still saved, but they've wandered and they're not living very well and they're not experiencing peace and relationship with Jesus that can grow and benefit them and others. Or if they've actually wandered away far enough that they've lost their faith, I want to encourage you to be where Jesus is. Because he's in the business of winning lost people back and bringing back home those who have wandered off. So let's pray. Father, every one of us knows somebody who has wandered off and has come back. Everyone of us probably knows somebody who has left the faith. And I ask, Lord, this morning that You'd stir in our hearts Your heart for them. You came to seek and to save the lost. And we ask, Lord, You give us a heart and a mind to be with You where You are as You seek and to save the lost. And we pray it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and all who offer here their worship and praise, that the Lord Himself would be pleased to stay here now and always, seeking and saving the lost by His word, let us pray to the Lord. For all congregations, pastors, and church workers, that they may remain steadfast to God's holy word, let us pray to the Lord. For all Christian homes, that they may be grounded in God's Word, that husbands, wives, and children may be united and nurtured in His Word, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our leaders, that they may plead the cause of widows and orphans and serve the needs of the least among them, and that peace and safety may abound, let us pray to the Lord. For all who cry out with needs of body and soul, and Lord, especially those that are near to us as are listed in the bulletin, that our Heavenly Father would take all their hurting hearts under His tender care, granting them His peace and delivering them out of their afflictions, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this solemn assembly before Christ's altar, that none may bring a vain offering or come concealing grudges, lies, or any falseness of faith or life, that we may become in true penitence, that our sins, though as scarlet, may be washed white as snow in the blood of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. For sincere and believing hearts, cleansed of sin, unbelief and false piety, that justice may be sought, oppression corrected, and true acceptance and sacrifices be offered before God according to His word and teaching, let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Your Son has stooped low in His incarnation to be the guest of sinners and bring salvation to us. Make us worthy of Your calling and fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by Your power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in us and us in Him, according to Your grace, through the same Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Lift up your hearts. We live.
their mouth unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. And we pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you, this cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. When we come to the Lord's Supper, this is a time where whatever needs to stay here, stays here. Meaning, he calls us to come forward to receive his body and his blood. But it's for the forgiveness of things that we've been, you know, off compass on. And so if there's been anything you've been off compass on in your life, then when you come today, you need to bring it here and leave it here with him. That's what he's done for you. He has forgiven you. He has paid for your sins so they belong to him. So when you come here, leave your indebtedness here with him. Fair? Yes. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good.
And His mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore You that of Your mercy, You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
By the way, the last phrase of the benediction really can be seen as, may you see God seeing you. So would you receive the Lord's benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace.
Amen.
Let's be seated for our closing hymn.